let's read a little bit. Let me kind of get settled down here. We'll read the text. And did I say Judges 14? Let's go to Judges 16 if we could. Folks, don't ever lose spontaneous worship. Don't let it. Don't ever. And it's hard on the flesh. I know sometimes it's difficult on the flesh, but be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Judges chapter 16. Let's see if I turn this thing on. Is it on, brother? Yeah. I want to read just a little passage. On the passage on Samson and Delilah, and I want to try to preach to you today on this thing of sober mindedness, being sober minded. And I want you to, we're going to read about a man who, some way, he wasn't thinking right. His thinking was messed up. And we've been preaching to you on Samson. We preached on his parents. We've been preaching on his problems, trying to. I preached on his problem with separation. He was yoking up with the Philistines when he should have been separated from them. I preached on the strange woman Sunday night or Wednesday sometime. Sunday night, I guess it was. We spent some time on the strange woman. And this morning I want to try to preach to you on being sober. Samson had a problem with being sober and thinking right. And we're going to read a passage where he just wasn't thinking right. In fact, you would say this, Samson, that's the most foolish thinking you could have possibly had. And so let's read the text and pray. And I'll try to bring you just a little thought that the Lord's put on my heart this morning. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. And say, he's still messing around with these Philistines. You pick up on that. He still hadn't got this thing of separation down. And that's destroyed. Just let me stop and say this. That's destroyed a lot of God's people. They cannot separate from the world. And because of that, it takes them down. Well, let me start in verse 5 again. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had never been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist, that word wist means knew, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your precious presence this morning. And Lord, please help me in my preaching. Lord, help me to preach your message. I want to preach your message, Father. Help me to do that. Be glorified. Take away any hindrance that might hinder what you want to do. And may we be eternally changed for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, when we look at this text, we see Samson has fallen in love with Delilah, and she's going to trick him. And she says this, tell me what your strength is. And he told her, he lied to her and said this, if you'll just bind me with these 7 green wisps which have never been dried, then if I'm bound with that, then I lose my strength. Well, you know the story. We just read it. That's what she did. She lets him go to sleep. And we could talk about his sleeping problem. He had a sleeping problem, by the way. A lot of God's people do, too. But here's this woman, and she's trying to rob him of his strength. And so the men come upon him. He just flexes, of course, and makes short work out of them. And instead of him saying, you tried to trick me, instead of him saying, hey, you were going to rob me of my strength and let my enemies overcome me, Samson didn't say that. Here's what we would have said. We would have said, hey, I'm not fool of you no more. You betrayed me. And I did lie to you, but you betrayed me. And I can't trust you any longer. And I'm not fooling with you. I'm getting out of here. Here's what she said, you mocked me. And he bought it, Brother Allen. He bought into it. Can I tell you? He stayed with her knowing she was trying to destroy him. And can I say it this way? He just wasn't thinking right, was he? And then we go on down, you know, you can read the others, the new robes. And here they come again, and you will say, well, you might have made a mistake once, Delilah, but you're trying to rob me of my strength where my enemies can destroy me. I don't want nothing to do with you. You get out of here, or I'm leaving, or whatever need to be said. But he didn't say that. She said, Samson, honey, you've mocked me again. And he bought into it. He bought into that. And it's almost like you're saying, poor Samson, you're so foolish. We might say that's the dumbest thing I ever seen. He kept, and then finally he tells her the truth, knowing 3 times she set him up. Now he tells her the truth, and you say, how crazy could the man be? I mean, how could he be thinking like that? My, you stop and think about that. But there's a lot of people out there today. They're on their way to destruction. I mean, really, they're caught up in drugs or alcohol or whatever addiction it is. They know it's killing them, and they won't quit it. They won't try to get away from it. They're not serious about it. And you wonder, what are they thinking? And so here's what I see with Samson. One of his problems, he was not sober-minded. And this word sober, I wanted to be sure we're talking. We're not talking about somebody going around under the influence of alcohol, although that is one part of it. But it's really this thing of soberness. To be sober is to think in your right mind. To be sober is to think rightly. And there's a lot of things that can intoxicate you. Can I tell you? Of course, physically, alcohol can get you out of your right mind, or drugs, or pills, or whatever it is. But can I say too, sickness or pain sometimes can cause you not to think right. I know a fella, he was in pain and he struggled so, and the fact of the matter, I'm just going to tell you, he took his own life. And can I tell you, he was most likely an unsaved man. He thought he was helping himself, but really all he was doing was making matters worse. I mean, he went from earthly pain to hell, Brother Bud. Can you imagine the surprise when he committed suicide and instantaneously woke up in hell? Can you imagine? Can you imagine where he was at? Oh my, can I tell you? He just wasn't thinking right. And so that's what this thing of sober-mindedness is. It's to be discreet, or to think right, make right decisions, and to think circumspectly. And that word means carefully. That's the idea of this sober mind. It's sound. It's a sound mind that thinks in a sound manner. And my, we find in the Word of God, the Bible says much about us being sober, God's people. And we could talk about some of these things. Did you know pleasures can intoxicate people to the point that they don't think right? The pleasures of this life. Do you realize that a lot of times money and riches cause people to lose their sober mind, robs them of soberness, and the money and the riches causes them to think in the wrong way? Do you realize anxiety and depression and discouragement can cause you to think wrong, and it can keep you from being sober-minded? Carnality, popularity and fame, even man's philosophy. Let me share this experience with you. And I have a hundred times, but it's meant so much to me in life. I was in a college philosophy class, and the teacher walked in. I can remember it as plain as if it was yesterday. I could call her by name. I don't know if I could get you to the classroom, but I could be close. And here's what she said before she said, open a book or do anything else. She said this: would it be better for you to move in and live with somebody and find out you're compatible and then marry them and have children? Or would it be better to marry them, find out you're incompatible, and have three children, and then later find out you're incompatible and have to get a divorce? Now, the fleshly reasoning would say it'd be better to live together. And I never had my value system questioned. My whole life, I grew up in church. I went to church every Sunday, and I never had anybody question my value system. And that rocked me. I mean, man, that rocked me. I'm thinking, man, she's right. She's right. And Brother Allen, I went on for a little while, and I talked to my dad. I couldn't get peace. I don't know why, I had a block on it for some reason. I give my dad that same scenario. I said, Dad, here's a fella just barely got out of high school, and I said, Dad, what about this? What about if you just, I mean, which would be better, Dad? He said, I know where you're headed. It sounds right to man's thinking. But he said, there's only one thing wrong with it. I said, Dad, what is it? He said, don't line up the Word of God. That right there, boy, I tell you, I was liberated again. Brother Miller, I just thank the Lord. I just said, well, thank you, Lord. And see, what she was doing, her philosophy was robbing me of my sober mind. That's my point I'm trying to make to you. And here's what I'm thinking. Some of y'all may have been robbed of your sober mind of thinking right. You may be robbed. So you may have a philosophy that's robbed you of a sober mind. You may have popularity and fame, and because you want to be well liked by a certain group, it's robbed you of your right thinking. Or those things I mentioned. And so the Bible says repeatedly for us to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. It's not just talking about alcohol. I want to get that across to you. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read a few of these to you just to let you know that they're in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be sober. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. 1 Timothy 3 and 11, even so must the wives be grave, not slanderers, but sober. Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober. That the aged, Titus 2 and 2, that the aged men be sober. Titus 2 and 4, that they may teach the young women, to be sober. Titus 2 and 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Be sober. 1 Peter 4 and 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so here's what I'm saying. Repeatedly, the Bible teaches us to be of a sober mind. You know why the Bible repeats the same thing again and again? Well, number one, repetition's the mother of learning. But number two, to place emphasis on the truth that it's declaring. The Bible wants you to be sober-minded. And He doesn't want anxiety to get you out of thinking right. He doesn't want money to keep you from thinking right. All those things we mentioned, He doesn't want money. He doesn't want pleasures, depression, popularity, man's philosophy, man's intellect. All those things, the pressures of the world, the pressures of your flesh, the pressures of the devil are trying to get you to think wrongly. But the Bible says this, be sober, be sober, be sober, be sober. You and I are to be a sober people. We need to understand that. That's the burden of my heart today. We talk to young folks sometimes. They don't even think right. They don't even think right. I know people that spend more than they make and they think it's just going to work out. They're not even thinking right, Brother King. It don't even make sense. Our nation's not even thinking right. The United States spends more than it makes and they ought to know something's got to give after a while. They're not even thinking right. They're not sober-minded. God's people are to be sober-minded. My, I want to say this as we get started. I want to take my time this morning, just work my way through this. Are you sober-minded? Are you sober-minded? What's intoxicated you, if I could say it that way? My, your flesh pressures you to think like it wants you to think. You've got a flesh. Maybe some of you this morning, you woke up and your flesh said, y'all just lay out. Y'all just stay home. Your flesh trying to get you to think the way it wants you to think. The world tries to get you to think like it wants you to think. The world pressures you. That's what we call, we have this for teenagers. They seem to fight it worse than others. They call it peer pressure. There's pressure. If you don't think like the world, they look down on you. If you don't think like the religious system of our day, it looks down on you. You may not think it, but there's a little pressure there. Just a little pressure. As you get older, it seems to be less, but there is some pressure involved in that. So the world pressures you. And the flesh pressures you. And of course, the devil pressures you to think the way he wants you to think. And so you keep this in mind. You're being pressured mentally, whether you realize it or not. There's pressure on you. And God's Word, we've already said, declares that we ought to be sober. We ought to be sober. And my, here's the thought that come to me. What should we be sober about? Here we are. Here we are on planet Earth. I've got about 20 years left. Some of you may have 10 years left. I'm talking about according to nature. We can all be dead before tonight. I understand that. Some of you's got 40 years. Here we are on planet Earth. What's our life about? What's our life for? Yeah, God saved you. You've been saved. You're living right now. You're trying to live a Christian life. What's this life all about? Oh my, we got to start thinking about that. I started thinking, what is it? Why? Why the sober mind? What I need to be sober about? Why don't we just eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die? We're saved, everything's all right. Why worry about these things? I started thinking, that's kind of the gist of my thinking as I went along, and I'm thinking about Samson and how in the world could he have told Delilah how he could lose his strength after, I mean, how foolish can you get? How far can we slip in our thinking? And so I started thinking about some things that we ought to be sober about. And I'm going to talk to you this morning maybe about one of them, I guess, about all I have time for. We ought to be sober about the Word of God. We ought to be sober about the Bible. Hey, when we're talking about the Word of God, can I say, it's God speaking to you. I don't think you got that. When we're talking about the Word of God, when we're talking about this blessed old book, and the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, reads to you out of this book, can I tell you what that is? That's God talking to us. That's God saying, hey, I've got something to say to you. I'm going to talk to you for a little while. You know what we do? We just fold it up. We just pitch it up on the shelf. Hey, God, I know you wrote me a letter, but I ain't got time to fool with it. Can I tell you, that's not sober thinking. That's not sober thinking. Preacher gets up and preaches the Word of God, and he sought God and tried to find God for the message of the hour. Had people clipping their fingernails and looking around and running in and out of church. And I know sometimes them things got to be done. Talking, playing with a baby, doing whatever they're doing. Can I tell you, it may be God. It may be God trying to talk to you. Oh my. You think it's sober just disrespect God, not listen to what He has to say? We ought to be sober. This is God's Word. Brother Allen, God said, hey, I want to tell you about Samson. You say, that's just a kid's story. My, there's so many truths in there for us. Why, we could preach from now on out of that little passage. Are you sober about the Word of God? Do you realize, hey, we got on in Sunday school today. Samson said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Have you said that? Have you got down on your knees and said this? "Now, Lord, we're going to church tomorrow. Bless my pastor. Give him the message. But Lord, let me hear more than just my pastor. Oh God, would you speak to my heart?" Do you know God didn't speak to Samson's to Samuel until he said, "Speak, Lord. Lord, I want you to speak. I'm listening, Lord. Please say something to me." Hey, he spoke to him 2 or 3 times, called him by name, but he didn't speak to him until he told the Lord he wanted to hear from him. How long's it been since you said, "Oh, Lord, speak to my heart this morning"? How long's it been? You scared to hear from God? You frightful of what He might say to you? How long's it been since you said, "Lord, I need a word from heaven"? It's the Word of God. We throw it around, handle it loosely, treat it like it's second class, talk about it like it's outdated and doesn't fit our society. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody needs to get sober about this. They need to start thinking right about this book. Can I tell you, it's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what it says. If you hear something that goes contrary to this book, what you heard's a lie, Brother Allen, and this book's right. This is God speaking. And here's what the world does. They twist it and turn it and change it and make light of it and call this old King James Bible outdated and everything else. I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. When are we going to wake up and say, "God, this is your Word, and what you say and what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do"? What's wrong with us? You think you can get by being disobedient to God? I mean, he chastened his own chosen people because they would not believe and would not obey. Do you think old Gentile dogs are going to get by? Do you think we're going to get by? Do you think you can play? Do you think you can be lukewarm? We live in the age of casual Christianity. It's just a casual. Just a casual endeavor. You're not going to get by with that. God's told you if you're lukewarm, He'll spew you out of His mouth. Don't believe that, do you? You're not sober-minded about the Word of God. My. You say, why do we need to be sober about the Word of God? It's a lamp and a light. Isn't that right? Let me see if I can find it right quick. Psalms 119:105. Where I'm headed, you don't have to turn unless you just want to. Psalm 119:105, it says this: "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Now, what's that saying? Can I tell you what it's saying? It's saying the Bible, the Word of God, tells you how to walk. You come to a crossroad in life, you can go this way or you can go this way, and you don't know how to go. Can I tell you, we've got the light and the lamp of the Word of God to direct us. And we don't even say that. We say, "Well, I believe I'd like this the best." I mean, we let our flesh dictate to us. Like our flesh smarter than the Word of God. "Oh yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to go this route. Right here. That's what I want to do." No, instead of letting the Word of God direct your path and guide your feet, no, you start trying to do that. You're not sober about the Word of God, which is a lamp and a light to your feet and to your path. It's time we woke up and think right about the Word of God. Let it guide you. It's a lamp and a light. Let it guide your life. Let it tell you what path to go down. Let it tell you where to step, where to go, and what to do next. Oh my. No, what we say, well, I believe financially it'd be better if I did this. Well, my goodness, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and the gold. You think you knew better than he knew when he owns it all? Well, I believe I'd like it better over here. Your flesh might. Why don't you let God guide? Let His Word guide you. Be sober about this Word of God. It's a lamp and a light to our path and our feet. Our feet and our path, I guess I should say. But then I want to say we ought to be sober about the Word of God because it's a teacher and an educator. I'm just going to give you a few of these out of Psalm 119, verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the angels because I keep thy precepts. We ought to be sober. We're all about education. I don't mind it. I've got a little bit of education. And a lot of folks got some education, I guess. My, we put such stock in that. But can I tell you, the most simple-minded man, if he'll lay hold to the truths of this blessed old Word, Brother Allen, he can be wiser than the sages. That's right. He can be wise. You know why we throw it over in the corner? Ignorant. We're so ignorant and unlearned and don't know which way to go and what to do and how's right and what's the right way. My, if we just look to that Word of God, it'd educate us. It'd make us wise. It'd take a simple man and make a wise man out of it. And we won't even look in the Word of God. What's wrong with why? Why won't we think soberly about God's Word? Oh my, I'm stirred this morning about this Bible. Here's what's going to happen this week. Here's what some of you are going to do. We get it Wednesday. Wednesday come, you'll pick it up, trot off to church, come back home. And we'll get it Sunday. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we do? It's a book to make you wise. It's a book to direct your path. Jeremiah says, it's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer. What's a fire do? I preached this here not long ago. It's still struggling with me. Here's what I see people doing. I might as well tell you. They take the Word of God and twist it to fit their life. That's right, Brother Allen. Can I tell you what else the Word of God is? It's a mirror. In James chapter 1, it's a mirror. When the words start being preached, you're starting to see where your imperfections are. You're looking at your life and you say, hey, that there's a blemish right there. And there's a blemish right here. And there's a blemish. That Word of God will show you who you are. You say, boy, I'm a good person. I'm this or that. Hey, that Word of God will measure you up. That Word of God will put, it'll let you see yourself for what you are. That's why a lot of folks don't want the Word of God, because it shows them what they are. Oh, I'm telling you, we need the Word of God. Look in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Oh, meditate upon the Word of God. Make it your soul food for your life. My, stirred in my soul. The Word of God, it's a teacher and an educator. It's a fire. You know what it'll do? It'll burn the dross out of your life. Dross is impurity in silver. They'll heat that silver up. Y'all know the story. You've heard it up from 100 preachers, I guess. Silver comes up to the top and they skim it off. You know, that's what the Word of God is. That's what the Word of God is. Some of you not faithful like you ought to be. One day God put it on me to preach faithfulness. And you know what you'll say? You'll look in that mirror and you'll see that blemish of unfaithfulness. And if you'll allow that Word of God, you'll scrape that unfaithfulness, that fire, that Word will burn. Bring that impurity to the top. you'll scrape it out of your life and you'll be more like Christ. That's right. Here's what I'm saying. We need to be sober about the Word of God. It's a lamp and a light to our path. Say, preacher, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What's the Bible say? Well, I had a vision, a dream. Well, God don't speak in vision dreams anymore. I hate to tell you that. He just don't do it. Well, I don't see it that way. Hey, the Bible says that book's perfect. If it's perfect, it's got everything we need. That's right. God's give us everything we need to serve Him. He don't need a dream. He don't need the Book of Mormon to go with it. He don't need the watchtower added to it. He don't need the Apocrypha put with it. That book right there, it's perfect and pure and undefiled. And everything we need to know, it's right there, friend. Right there. Oh my. And yet we're like Samson. We've ignored it and maybe realized the enemy's trapping us up and we just stay right with what our own personal decisions led us down dead end road after dead end. Our life's in shambles. We've made our own decisions and wrecked our life. Everything sideways. And instead of saying, hey, I've made a mess out of it, I believe I'll turn to the Word of God and let God lead a while. We just go back and do the same thing again. What's wrong with us? Can I tell you, you're not being sober about the Word of God. You're not being sober. That Word of God's a fire to purify. It's a hammer. It'll break down your hard heart and your haughty spirit. He'll just keep busting on that rock of your heart. He'll just keep hitting that heart. Is it pleasant? That hammer. You ever been hit with a hammer? Hit your thumb? Boy, that's fun, isn't it? We're having a lot of fun then, aren't we, Brother Allen? No, it hurts. It's painful. We don't like it. That old hammer, the Word of God. Just keep busting on your life. Boy, you don't like it. You don't like the preacher because he's preaching it to you. You don't like that fire that's burning that dross out. Oh, it hurts. You don't like that double-edged, two-edged sword of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You don't like that sword performing surgery on you. Oh, no, I don't like it, preacher. And if so, I'm going to twist it around. So I don't have to change. Can I tell you? You're not going to do any better until you let the Word of God work in your life. You've got to let the Word of God work. Oh, it'll crack you. It'll humble you down. It'll bring you down to pieces. It'll burn the dross out of your life. It'll educate you. It'll be a lamp and a light to you. It'll be a mirror, James 1:23. Let me give you that one. It's the mirror passage. I can find it right quick. But I'm going to start in verse 22 of chapter 1 of the book of James. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's talking about a man looking in the mirror. You're just going to listen. You're not going to do. You're going to look in there. You're going to see them blemishes. You don't do anything about it. You're going to forget it. It's going to slip out of your mind. And then you're going to be back like you was saying, hey, I'm good shape. Preacher, thanks, but no thanks. I don't need you. My life's where it needs to be. Oh, here's what I'm saying. You know why we're in the shape we're in? We don't think about the Word of God with a sober mind. How long's it been since the Word of God has changed you? Are you that perfect that you can read the Word of God and it not change you? Are you that perfect?
Am I that perfect? I look the Word of God and read, and nothing speaks to me. I don't see myself. I don't see my imperfections. I don't see my weaknesses. I don't see my struggles. How long has it been since you've let the Word of God change you? Some of you ain't been changed in years, I guess. You won't let the Word work in your life. You're not sober about the Word of God. Here's where I'm at. You say, well, how do we act to the Word of God? Give me just a few minutes and I'll be through. I want you to turn to Acts 17. What is the response to the Word of God? I mean, how is it? How is it God's people or really anybody can respond to the Word of God? And I preach this out here. But I think it's so important that we keep this before us. Paul was down at Athens on Mars Hill, I guess it was. Down on Mars Hill in Athens. And here's what he said. He preached to them, and when he come to the resurrection, they're smart boys. This was an intellectual crowd. And they would take in all this teaching till he come to the resurrection of the dead. Now he lost them right there. The dead living again. Them intellects couldn't handle that, Brother Allen. No way. I guess they never planted a seed, you reckon? Well, how can the dead rise? Well, how can that seed you plant turn into wheat and barley? I reckon they never had thought about that. But here he is, and we see the responses in verse number 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, here's what the Bible said, some mocked. Do you know those people that if they heard my little message this morning, they'd mock me. They'd laugh at me. There may be some of y'all sitting there deep inside. I can't believe he's saying that. He's twisting the scriptures. You don't read, you don't pray, you don't know up and down, but you just know the preacher's twisting the scriptures because it's cutting into your life. The Word of God's cutting you and burning you and hammering on you. That's right. Here's what they did. They mocked him. That's exactly what they did. They mocked the good man of God. They ridiculed. You know how else you mock the Word of God? Twist it to make it say what you want to say to fit your life. You know what you're really saying? God, you're not saying what you're saying. Here's what you're saying. Now, I understand there's room for interpretation in the Bible. I understand that. Some of this stuff it's ridiculous what people do to make it fit, Brother Miller. You know it's right. Can I tell you, they're making a mock of the Word of God. They're saying, God, you're not saying what you're saying, and here's what you really meant by that. Can I tell you, why don't you let God's Word speak for itself? Amen. Let the Word of God speak for itself. Oh my. Especially when the Holy Spirit's driving it home and cutting your heart out of your chest. Especially when the Holy Spirit's pounding on you with the Word of God like a hammer and your heart's just about to buzz. Why don't you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong? Instead of trying to twist it. I'm going to tell you, twisting the Word of God. I'll tell you how else you mock the Word of God by mocking the messenger. It's amazing how much Paul, the godly man he was, had to defend who he was. He's defending himself. Let me read you. I don't guess we need to do that, but let me see what I want. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 10, maybe it is. Verse number 10, here's what they said about Paul. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Yeah, he's a good writer, but he ain't much of a preacher. That's what they're saying about him. That's exactly what they're trying. If I was to put that in today's words,
In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 14, here's another crowd to receive Paul. And my temptation which was in my flesh he despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Here's what he said. You received me as an ambassador of God. You received me as a messenger of God. That's what an angel is. It's a messenger of God. That's how you received me. My. He said, I believe it's in Thessalonians. I can't remember now. He said, you received me, but not, I'm going to paraphrase, but not like I wanted you to, but you received my message as it was the Word of God. That's what he was saying. That's how they received him. And my, can I tell you, here's what happens when the Word of God cuts your heart and you don't want your flesh rise up and rebel you. If you can attack the man of God or the messenger of God and discredit him, well, how dare him say that? Look at his life. I have to go to our Sunday school lesson. When Samuel said, when he speaks to you again, you just say, speak, Lord, my servant heareth. Eli said that to Samuel. Samuel could have said, you have no right telling me what to do. Look at your children. Look at your failures. How dare you tell me what I ought to do when you're living like that? Was that what Samuel did? You know what Samuel did? He obeyed his man of God. He went with his, submitted to his man of God. I used the Bible word. And here's what people say when you preach what they don't want to hear. I can't believe he'd say that. Look how he lives. Look at him, and then start picking flaws in the man of God. And can I tell you, you don't have to look far. Matter of fact, just talk to my family, and they'll give you two or three pages of literature to use against me. I'm just as human as you are. I struggle. Sometimes I struggle. It's pitiful. It's pitiful how I struggle. Really, I don't even know, Brother Miller, why God would call me to be a preacher. And you know, you think I like to preach hard messages? You think I like to offend people? And I'm trying to build a church, not tear one down. And really, you can discredit me. I'm a nobody. Really, I'm nothing. But I know God called me to preach. And I can't tell you why, but I know He called me. And I know He put me at this church. And I know I'm doing the best I can do. And you can discredit all you want to, but every now and then I get God's message. And it cuts and it fires up and it hammers on people's heart and it shows them where they're at. And my, if you're not going to mock, you're going to mock the messenger or mock the scriptures or just outright laugh at the whole situation. But I'm telling you, God's word is right and it'll help you if you'll let it. Oh my, you better think right. This is God talking to you. You mock God. God is not mocked. That's what the Bible says. You go ahead and mock the Word of God. You're mocking God. And God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh my. You mock. Number two, they mock. Number two in our text of Acts 17, they procrastinated. We'll hear you another day regarding this matter. We'll hear you another day. Let me read that right because I make sure that is right. We will hear thee again of this matter is what they say. In other words, just go on. We ain't going to mess with it now. Yeah, we know maybe what you say is right, but we're just going to keep living like we live. One of these days we're going to change our ways. You can procrastinate. Then lastly, you can believe. You can believe. You can receive the man of God as God's messenger declaring God's message. Here's the verse I was looking for earlier. For this cause also, thank we God. This is 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I've got about 30 scriptures of people who heard the word of God and what happened when they let the word of God work in their life. They looked at the word of God sober-mindedly. They said, this is the word of God. This is God's word. Now, if I preach God's message to you, this is the message God wanted you to hear this morning. That's just how it is. Do you miss it? Yeah, sure I miss it. You ever miss it? Sure you do. We all miss it. But every now and then I hit it. How do you view the Word of God? That's just the Word of God. Just the Bible. That's back to Bible time. Let's put that over there. Here's what I think about it. It don't matter what you think. It's what God says it matters. It's how it is. I tell you what you better do. You better get to saying, what's God say? Oh, let me see if I can find what God says about my problem. Oh, preacher, what's the Bible say about this situation? Oh, tell me. Give me a word from heaven. That's sober thinking about the Word of God. Where are you at today? Have you shunned the Word of God? Made light of it? You just maybe ignored it? The precious Word of God that's come down from heaven. God gives. God preserved so you and I could have His Word in these last days. And we pitch it on the shelf. Pitch it on the shelf. And ignore it. And put it on like a suit coat and a tie to go to church. Put it under our arm like it's part of our wardrobe. Get home, change clothes, pitch the Bible down. Don't look at it again. It's time to dress up for church. We're in sad shape, people. Sad shape. Here's what I encourage you to do. I really would like to close with a sinner. If you're here and lost, you know what this Bible... You ought to say, what's this Bible say about me? That's right. If you're unsaved, here's what you ought to say. What's this Bible say? What's God's Word to me? You must be born again. That's God's Word to you. Sinner, you must. You know what else God's Word? There's one mediator between God and man. Only one way. It's Jesus. That's right. Oh, my. Hey, here's God's Word. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. Oh, and the wages of sin is death. And on and on and on we could go. My. This Bible's got a message for everybody. Every situation. Every path. Every fork in the road. You ought to be looking right here in this blessed old book. Every problem. Every trouble. Every calamity comes your way. Oh God. Oh God, give me a word from heaven. Speak, Lord. Thy servant hear us. Speak. Speak to me, God. Give me a word. Are we sober? I'm through this morning. Alan, y'all come to the piano. Poor old Samson, one of his reasons for such a defeated life was his lack of being sober-minded. Are you sober? Are you sober? You think right. How do I know if I think right? If you're thinking right, lines up by the Word of God, you can rest assured you're thinking right. If it don't, you're thinking wrong. Just how it is. How it is. Where are you at today? You've been trying to twist the Scriptures. Make them fit. You've been attacking the man of God, trying to find fault, tearing down so you don't have to receive the message. Oh my, I don't know. Maybe God spoke to somebody's heart. It's been a burden on my heart this morning. Oh my, there's some other things. I hope maybe the Lord let me preach on the soberness of the will of God and the work of God and the woe of the sinner before I get through. But this morning it's the Word of God. What's the Word of God say about your life? What's it say about your life, about your spiritual state? Would you just say, Lord, You're right and I'm wrong. Lord, Your Word's right and I'm wrong this morning. Brother Allen's going to sing All Heads Bowed and All Eyes Closed. Just you and God now. I'm through. Just you and God. I'm out of the equation right now. God spoke to your heart. It's between you and Him now. You're going to obey Him. You're going to disobey Him. You're going to leave this building saying, God, I know what You wanted me to do, but I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. Oh my, you're mocking God. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth that shall he also reap. Brother Allen saying, God's dealing with your heart. Why don't you do business? While He's dealing with you this morning, why don't you do business with Him?